In the message today, we're going to look at obedience and how you can be either blessed or be on the wrong side of God. The two examples we're going to look at today is Jonah from the Old Testament and Simon Peter from the New Testament. So I just briefly set the scene with Jonah, first of all. Jonah's just a short book. There's only four chapters in the book. But straight away in chapter one, we read, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. So straight away there, we've got Jonah in disobedience. And we all know that further along in the book, Jonah gets swallowed up by a great big fish, as the children get taught, possibly a whale, possibly a big fish, who knows. But one thing I do know, being inside a great big fish like that for 3 days and three nights is not going to be very pleasant. And it's almost a shadow of Jesus' burial of 3 days and three nights. But we'll come back to Jonah a little bit later. We're going to look now, and Roz is going to put it up on the screen, Luke chapter 5 and verses 1 to 11. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, which is also known as the Sea of Galilee, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. Amen. You know, to be a Christian is to be a member of a unique community. One deeply committed to caring for the needs of the community around here, but also for the rest of the world. As believers, we should always keep in mind that we are part of a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a people for God's own possession. Peter said that in 1 Peter verse 9 and followed on by saying that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Like the disciples who came before us, we belong to something far greater, far grander than we understand, something far beyond our comprehension. Each of us is part of something greater than ourselves. The Christian life is a walk of faith, one step of obedience after another. And though we may think the situations we face are unrelated, the Lord moves us through a variety of circumstances towards his ultimate purpose. Now, if for the sake of safety we back off from obeying, we miss the opportunity to experience his awesome power working in and through us. Small choices may seem insignificant, but they can lead to a thrilling lifelong journey with Jesus. Do you consider some of God's commands more important than others? For instance, most people would never commit murder, but many think it's okay to harbor anger towards someone. Yet Jesus said that both actions are wrong because they both flow from the same attitude. Nothing Jesus tells us to do is insignificant. And we may not always recognize the importance of obedience in what we consider small matters. When we look at today's passage of Scripture, we see Jesus asking Simon to use his boat as a speaking platform. And after a long night of unproductive fishing, let's face it, they didn't have sonar, they didn't have radar, or any kind of signaling to know exactly where the fish are. And for Peter, who'd done a night's work, he could have seen Jesus' request to go into deep water and put down the nets as hardly worth the inconvenience. But Peter obeyed in this small matter, not realizing the impact that simple act of obedience would have on his life. It was the first step of becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. Peter and the other disciples only had the Old Testament scriptures to read. We're fortunate we have the whole Bible today that we can read, digest, study. And as we are God's children, we should seek his direction in daily situations, because the situations that come about are important to God that each one of you go through. And that's why it's good to read the word. Then we can easily discern what he desires for us. Now, what about reluctant obedience? Have you ever resisted obeying God because his instructions were something that you didn't want to do? You've been there. That was the case with Jonah. The inhabitants of Nineveh were Assyrians, a people known for aggression and cruelty. And since they were enemies of Israel, Jonah thought he had a good reason to resist the Lord's command to preach to them. And while the goal was to draw the Ninevites to repentance through Jonah's preaching, God was also working to change Jonah's unloving spirit. Jonah did not want that hostile people to experience the divine grace, forgiveness, and love of God. And though Jonah eventually obeyed and went to Nineveh, his heart didn't. And the same thing can happen to you and I at times. It's possible to go through the motions of obedience while still harboring resentment, anger, and even a rebellious spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 3 says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move a mountain, but not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing." And there's the warning that even our greatest acts of obedience, done without love, profits us nothing. God wants more than begrudging compliance. He wants us to do his will from the heart. And when you're in a situation whereby you're reluctant to obey God, ask him to change your heart. We can have a natural determination to get our own way. Thought patterns that must be relinquished if we want to be in God's will. When we compare Jonah with Peter, we can see that Jonah was still controlled by self-centered attitude. He preferred to die rather than see the Ninevites live and be saved. He wanted mercy for himself, but not for his enemies. Jonah's bitterness shows that clinging to self-focus is a snare for our spirit. Pride, anger, resentment, and self-pity are like thick weeds in our path, preventing us from moving forward. If we give in to such feelings, we will end up in turmoil, just as Jonah did. But Peter, on the other hand, he could have kicked off big time after being out all night fishing, catching nothing. But he was obedient in Jesus' request. Jonah, his disobedience cost him 3 days and three nights inside a great fish. Peter, his obedience netted so many fish that the net nearly broke. Most times, fishermen would fish at night to avoid the scorching heat during the day. But this is not Simon Peter's first encounter with Jesus. If you read the previous chapter, Jesus had already been to Peter's home in Capernaum, and he healed Peter's mother-in-law. Perhaps that explains Peter's willingness to let Jesus use his fishing boat as a floating pulpit. After fishing all night with no success and having to clean the nets as well, Peter would be exhausted and just looking forward to going home and getting some sleep. No doubt many of us have been in that sort of situation where we've been exhausted and just wanted to do that. The gospel writer Luke doesn't tell us what Jesus taught the crowds that morning. The focus is on what follows. Jesus tells Simon to put out into the deep waters to put down the nets. It's a reminder for all of us that the deeper and further we go with Jesus, the greater the blessing we will get. Just taking that step forward to go deeper. The net so full of fish beginning to break. The boat so full of fish starting to sink. Simon Peter is caught by surprise. In the midst of the ordinary daily grind, he is encountered by one who changes everything. Amazed by the power of God's display, Peter is immediately aware of his sinfulness and unworthiness. Jesus responds to Peter by saying, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch people." And the Greek word for catching is zogron, and it's rarely used in the New Testament, but it means to catch alive. Of course, fishing with nets was a matter of catching fish alive, but those fish would soon be dead. Here, Jesus calls Simon and his partners to a new vocation of catching people so that they may live. This passage that we have read and looked at offers rich possibilities of how God uses ordinary people, just like you and me, to discipleship and to mission. Simon and his partners are simple fishermen. And they are simply doing what they did every day. They're minding their own business. And Jesus calls Simon and his partners as they are. Simon is aware of his unworthiness, but Jesus isn't put off in the slightest. And that's always a good point for you and I. Jesus is not put off with any one of us. Throughout Scripture, we see human sin, failure, and inadequacy. But there are no obstacles to God's call. God calls imperfect people to do his work. How often do we resist Jesus' claim on our lives because what he's calling us to do just seems too crazy? How often do we avoid putting out into deep waters of following and bearing witness to Jesus because we are convinced that we will not see any results? Jesus' mission doesn't wait until we think we're ready. The need for the gospel in this broken world is far too urgent. We are called now. Jesus' word to Simon is also a word to us. Do not be afraid. This is Jesus' admission, and we trust that he will keep working with us and through us, catching others as he has caught us in the deep, wide net of God's mercy and love. It just needs you and I to be obedient to him. Amen.